morning, guys. Hope you're having a great morning. For those of you who might not recognize me, I'm Naeem Fazel, and this is my summer look. I shaved. It's summer on my face, apparently. But hey, glad you're here. We've got a treat for you. We got Tim Timberlake in the house. Those of you who have not experienced Tim, he's just a great guy. He's part of us in one sense. I mean, just love the fact that he's here, available, and speaks into what God is doing at Mosaic. So he's in the house. Let's make some noise for him. If you're at Metro, man, if you're at a Hope Center, regardless where you are, if you're online, hey, let's just make some noise. Can we do that? Put our hands together. Let's do it.
What's going on, Mosaic? How's everyone doing this morning? Pastor Naeem knew he couldn't be here after he shaved because I would pick on him. So he got rid of the beard. Man, that looks kind of weird on him. Can we put our hands together for Pastor Naeem and his beautiful wife, Ashley? It's good to be back with you all. We're going to have a good time today. We are here, and it's always a privilege and a joy to have my wife travel with me. Jen, she's with me today. Our son, Max, is in the Mosaic's Children Department Wrecking Shop. So if your kids are there, I apologize right now for what he is doing and what he will do, because he is a rough little boy. But we're going to hop right in Scripture today. If you got your Bible, if you would go with me to John chapter 15, verse 11. They're going to throw it up on the screen here. John chapter 15, verse 11, then we're going to pray. John chapter 15, verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." How many of you like to have joy? How many like to be happy? Three people. All right, great. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to go through your word and to share your heart as it concerns our life and our destiny. God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for what you're doing in this place and what you're going to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many like to be happy? Just a sign of... You know, I don't like to see people unhappy. It makes me unhappy to see other people unhappy. It's good to be happy. How many of you would agree? How many have little things that make you happy? One of the things that I've found to make me really happy as of late, you ever forgotten a word that's right there on the tip of your tongue, right on the precipice of your mind? You see it, you just can't pronounce it. It's there, and then all of a sudden you remember it. It brings so much happiness to me. Like, all right, I'm not losing my mind here. But what about when you're out at a restaurant and you're about to run out of your drink, and the waiter or the waitress fills your drink before you have to ask them anything? Just makes you happy. For me and my wife, we do a lot of traveling. She is from Canada. We do quite a bit of traveling across the border. One of the things that makes me the happiest is when Border Patrol doesn't ask any questions. Doesn't ask any questions. They just look at ID and they say, "All right, come on through. We're used to you guys. Timberlakes are back in Canada to wreck shop again." But there's little things that make me happy. When Max sleeps a little longer in the morning, that makes me happy. Makes me so happy. Just an extra 10 minutes or so just makes me happy. It's a difference between 6:30 a.m. and 6:45 a.m. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That extra 15 minutes is just like, all right, this makes me happy. But the reality is, happiness is based around the happenings in my life. It has to be something deeper than just happiness. My life has to be filled by joy. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Happiness is the happenings. Joy is from the inside. I want to talk to you today about seeds. Seeds, the things we sow that determine the harvest we see. Seeds. We have to sow seeds of joy in order for us to reap the harvest of joy. How many of you have ever sown a seed before? Just any kind of seed, apple seeds, pumpkin seeds, any type of seeds. How many of you have ever sowed a watermelon seed, though, and expect it to get back apples? Nobody, right? Nobody sows one seed and expects to get a different fruit back. How come, though, it's we sow these seeds of unthankfulness, you know, the seeds of sadness, but we expect to reap joy in return. If we're going to live the life that Jesus intends for us to live, we have to sow seeds of joy. This is what John chapter 15, verse 11 says. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." So if there's a chance that his joy might remain, there's also a chance that his joy might not remain. How many of you know what's easy to do is also easy not to do? Sometimes in the morning, we have to make ourselves happy. I believe one of the most popular songs of all time, the song by one of the most prolific artists and musicians, Pharrell Williams, Happy, how many remember that song, was so popular because so many people were looking for happiness. Now, I have to be honest with you, I'm so happy that they don't play it on the radio every other song. I don't know how many more times I'm going to hear it. "Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel..." Oh, man, all I can think about is Minions when that song comes on. But the song originally was never meant for adults. It was always meant for kids. But you have so many people looking and searching for happiness that we gravitate to anything that makes us happy because it's about the happening. But joy comes from within. Jesus says, "Listen, I pray that the joy that I've given you remains." That there are going to be things that happen in your life that will try to steal this joy that I've given you. There will be things in your life that tries to sift the joy that I've given you. There will be things in your life that empty your joy tank, but you have to continually fill that joy tank every single day of your life. I pray that this joy might remain and that your joy might be full through me. Too many people are looking for someone else to bring them happiness. Too many people, we're looking for our job to bring us happiness. We're looking for our spouse to bring us happiness. We're looking for our kids to bring us happiness. And the reality is, at some point in time, all of those things will bring you happiness, but happiness is fleeting. And so our happiness has to be rooted in something deeper. Our joy has to be rooted in something deeper. It has to be rooted in not what is going on around us, but what is going on in us. And what we sow into our lives will determine what we see in our lives. The first thing that I want us to take a look at it and write down, if we're going to maintain joy, if we're going to have the joy that Jesus speaks to us about, we have to remember this: our relationship with God is a must. Remember your first love. Your first love. Your first love. You can remember when you were in high school and when you were in middle school and you thought you were in love. You started writing notes. "Do you like me? Yes or no?" If you were really brave, you put an extra box that said, "Maybe." You send it off, send it to your friend. "Hey, go take it to her. Go take it to him." Get the letter back. It's checked in the maybe box. You're like, there's a chance. It's not a yes. It's not a no. But there's a possibility. And you thought to yourself, "Oh, man, I think I love this person." Or what about when you're in the lunchroom? What about when you're in the lunchroom now at your job and they bring in donuts? Have you ever just had a hot Krispy Kreme donut? It comes off the assembly line. They put the anointed glaze over it. And they let you watch through the window just to build your appetite of love. You take that first bite into that hot, fresh donut and you fall in love. All of those things pale in comparison to your first love, though. Your first love is Jesus. In Isaiah, he says that "I knew you." That word "knew you" means he had an intimate relationship with you before he placed you in your mother's womb. It means that he was in love with you and you were in love with him. He was and should be your first love. If you're going to have this joy, this joy that remains, you have to remember your first love. In Scripture, Psalms chapter 16, verse 5 through 11, it says, "My choice is you. God first and only. That's a pretty bold statement. He's saying, my choice is you. I understand that in this life, you will have many choices, but God, my choice is you. My choice is you. And now I find I'm your choice. You set me up with a house and a yard, and then you made me your heir. The wise counsel God gives when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going on, and I'm not letting it go. This sounds like a love letter, doesn't it? He's saying, what we have is so special. I got a good thing going on, and I won't let it go. I can't let go of this relationship that I have with God, because God has been so good to me. And it's not just that he's been good to me. It's just because of who he is. See, sometimes our relationship is based off of what God does for us. And the reality is, sometimes we just need to be thankful for who God is. Have you ever thought about the fact that if God did not send his son Jesus, we wouldn't be here today? And so Jesus just being Jesus is good enough. Jesus just being Jesus in your life, every single day you wake up and every single day you see the sunrise and every single day you see the moon settle is a reminder that God is still fulfilling his promises in your life. He's saying, listen, I got a good thing going on and I'm not going to mess that up for nobody. Let's continue to read. It says, I'm happy from the inside out, and from the outside in, I'm firmly formed. You canceled my ticket to hell. Is there anyone in here grateful that Jesus canceled your ticket to hell? Like you were bound to go to hell, but Jesus said, no, they're going to make an exchange with me. And instead of them going, I'll go for 3 days, take the keys of hell and the victory from hell. And now I possess those things. Is there anyone in here grateful that Jesus said, no, I'll cancel your ticket. You were bound for hell. You were bound for destruction. You were bound for these things. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'll exchange my life for your life. I'll exchange your defeat for my victory. I'll exchange these things with you so that you never have to experience these things. I don't know about you, but that's a lot to be excited for when you understand how flawed you are, when you understand how much grace you actually need, when you understand how mistake-prone you are. If you're like me, you're very mistake-prone. How many perfect people in here? Just curious. Nobody? No one's perfect. So then that means every single person in this room should be joyful for the exchange that Jesus has made for us. Because we understand every single day we wake up, we're going to mess something up. Every single day we take in air in our lungs, there's an opportunity for us to mess something up. But Jesus, in his infinite grace and his mercy, says, listen, I'm going to cancel your ticket to hell so that you can experience a life worth living. If we're going to have the joy that Jesus desires for us to have, then it's important for us not to forget our first love. We got a good thing going on, and we're not going to mess that up. Can anyone agree with me on that? Can anyone agree with me that we have a good thing going on, and we're not going to mess that up? Listen what else he says. Now you've got my feet on life's path, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. What he's saying is, ever since you took my hand, I've been following you. I'm on this path. I'm on this journey. I'm heading towards my destination. And I know I can accomplish it with you. I know that you are ordering my steps and directing my path. I know that everything and anything is possible when I'm walking hand in hand with Jesus, and that gives me joy. You know why people lack joy? Because they don't spend time with them. You know why people lack happiness? Because people don't understand who and whose they are. See, the Word of God teaches us that in his presence there is fullness of joy, at his right hand pleasures forevermore. So if you ever run into a person and they lack joy, you know what that's an indicator of? That they have not been in the presence of God in a long time. See, it's one thing to be around Jesus. It's something completely different to have Jesus around and in you. See, when Jesus is in you, when you live with Jesus, when you walk with Jesus hand in hand, you can't help but be joyful because you understand that he saved you. He canceled your ticket to hell. Your relationship with God is vital because he is your first love. Number two, your family relationships are vital. Your family relationships are vital to your joy. I love spending time with my family. This week has been pretty hectic. I've been all over the place, and they didn't get an opportunity to travel with me because of some storms. Flights were canceled, flights were delayed, and so I had to settle for FaceTime family time. FaceTime family time. Thank God for technology. It allows us to be with each other when we're not with each other, but there's nothing better than being in the physical presence of your family. It brings such joy. It brings such joy. It's healthy to be around your family. It's vital to be around your family. And some of you are saying, hey, well, I'm the only kid, and I would tell you that's great, but you got a church family as well. That's why it's so important to plug in here at Mosaic, because this is family. This is community, and it's life-giving. It's life-changing. And when you plug in, you find joy. There's no greater joy than serving other people. Jesus says, listen, I love you, so I'm going to give to you. He says, I love you so much, I'm going to give you my life. You are my family. You are no longer a slave. You are now a son and a daughter. He wanted to make us his family because Jesus thought so highly of us that way. So, number one, don't forget your first love. Number two, family is so vital. Number three, your friendships are vital. Friendships are priceless. They're priceless. You know, one of the greatest definitions for friendship that I can think about is friends are the family we choose for our own lives. Friends are the family we choose for our own lives. We get a chance to choose who we want to be our friend. How many of you got good friends in here? One person. That is a pretty sad bunch. How many got good friends in here? So when you have friends, you know, you do friends things. There are friends that come to my house. They act like my house is their house. That is an indicator that they are a true friend. When you got refrigerator rights, you know you in there. You know, when you just roll up to the fridge and you just open the fridge without even asking, hey, can I get some water? You are in there. You are family if you come in my house and you go straight to the kitchen and you grab the refrigerator door and you open it and you take a drink out. I work hard for that drink. And if I don't know you like that, there better be some questions asked before you just go in and get a cold beverage. How many of you can agree with me on that? But you understand that friendships are vital. Friendships are needed. Friendships are life-giving. And there's nothing better than having people you do life with, you know, on this journey with, that understand everything you're going through, when you're going through it, and can pray with you and for you as you're going through this journey. Friendships are vital. Some of us in this room don't understand the importance of friendship because we really don't understand the importance of joy. But friendships bring us joy because they're a reminder of Jesus. Jesus didn't live life alone. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was placed here, he could have did life by himself. He was the Messiah. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He was the ruler and the reigner. He could have created a friend. I'm pretty sure if Jesus wanted to, he could have had the most baller imaginary friend ever known to mankind. But he did not. He said, listen, I want to surround myself by 12 guys that we will be friends with. And he lived out life with them. They rode with Jesus. They saw Jesus do all these things, and Jesus spent time with them. He was with them. He rode with them because he understood the importance of relationship to his joy. See, in order for us to get joy in, we have to sow joy and happiness into the lives of other people. See, life is about seeds. It's about exchanging. It's about what we can serve others with and then in return get the harvest from those seeds that we've sown. When's the last time that you sowed joy and happiness into someone else's life? Because everything you desire, you first must sow. You desire more love, you have to sow it. You desire more smiles, you have to sow it. You desire more joy, you first have to sow it. Everything that you want in life, you have to sow. That there's a process in the Bible and throughout all humanity called seed time and harvest. Whatever you want, you have to sow it. There are no crops, there are no vegetables, that there are no things without first sowing the seeds to have those things reproduced into the form of a harvest. So you have to sow those things. When you say, I'm willing to invest time in a friendship, I'm willing to sow into a friendship, what you're saying is, I'm willing to sow happiness and joy and truth into this friendship until I see the return on it. And this is the reality. You have to plan your joy because your defeats and your anger will plan themselves. Life happens whether you want it to or not. And so every single day you have to schedule joy. You should put that as a reminder in your phone. Be joyful today. Because at some point throughout your day, there's going to be something that empties your joy tank and is a reminder of how human you actually are. See, some of you think your spirit's in here. Just think you're a floating spirit, don't have a body, you're perfect, life is good, life is great, and you never mess anything up, but there are going to be some things that happen even tomorrow, maybe today after you leave church, they're going to try to steal your joy. You got to remind yourself, no, Jesus desires that my joy remains. My joy needs to remain. So I have to remind myself of what makes me joyful. God does. My family does. My friends do. And number four, setting goals. Setting goals is important to achieving happiness. Setting goals is important to achieving happiness. The things that we accomplish in life bring us happiness and gives us a sense of joy. Some of you had a goal to come to church today. A lot of you made it. There are some of you watching me via live stream that did not, and you're like, oh man, I meant to go to church today. It's okay, you're still at church. But you got to set goals. You got to write them down. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, he says, write the vision, make it plain so that when you see it, you can run with it. This year, the remainder of the year, write down some goals. Write down what it is that you want to accomplish. Write down what it is that you desire to see. Write down what it is that you desire God to do through you, because when those things start happening, when those things start taking place, it brings about a sense of gratification, happiness, and joy. See, some of us, we're afraid to write down things because we don't want to fail at it. But if you never try, you're failing from the very beginning. Try. Write it down. Have made up in your mind, regardless of if I fail or regardless of if I succeed, I'm at least going to try. And then celebrate the small victories along the way. When Max was younger and he first started to walk, the thing that me and Jen did, every single step we celebrated. So we would clap. And it's amazing how when you have a small kid, you become a small kid again. You don't even talk regular English. You just talk a bunch of gibberish, and it's like they understand. Gigi, gaga, goo goo, yeah, yeah, that word. And every step, wobbly, we're clapping. We're celebrating the small victories. Now he's running all over the place. He's running all over the place, but this is what I truly believe. If we never would have started by celebrating each step, he wouldn't be as strong in the steps that he's taking today. And sometimes in life, you have to celebrate the little steps until you are strong enough to celebrate those big steps. And you never get to those big steps if you don't make these goals. So today, I've made up in your mind, listen, it's a good day. I'm going to be happy regardless of the happenings that's going on around me because Jesus has canceled my ticket. He's canceled my ticket. He's altered my plans. He's manipulated and maneuvered my life so that it makes more sense. How many of you are grateful that you're not in control of your own life? Right? Can you imagine that? If you managed and were in control of your own life, this room would be a complete mess. But we attempt to give Jesus a portion of our lives. It's my prayer today that you give him all of your life. See, one of the things that I've come to learn, 15 years of pastoring, people trust themselves but believe in God. We believe in God with our mouths, but we trust ourselves with our lives. It's one thing to say we love you. It's one thing to say we're serving you. It's another thing to actually make the sacrifice where your life is a reflection of that. A life that is a reflection of God is a life of joy. No reason to be sad. Paul, being in prison, being chained up, he said, count it all joy. This is a man that's locked up. As a matter of fact, he's locked up to a guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's in the bottom of a palace in the sewage system of that palace. And he's sitting there saying, count it all joy. He understands that there's a difference between being happy and being joyful. I'm pretty sure he was not happy with the circumstances that he was in. I'm pretty positive he was not happy with the smell that he was smelling. I'm pretty positive he was not happy with the pain that his body had to endure. But he said, I will count it all joy. This is why, because he understood that Jesus canceled his ticket. And when you understand that, you understand that life is not just at stopping at happiness, but it's about living a life that's fulfilled through joy. How many of you want to have joy today? Come on, can we stand to our feet? I just want to pray with you before the worship team comes back up here. We're going to take a moment to worship various ways here after I pray, that there's some of you in search of this joy that I've been talking about, that there's some of you that are in search of having a life that is worth living, not just a life of existing. You are basing your life around what has happened, what did not happen, what will happen. But today, you have to have a deeper root system for your life than just happiness. You have to begin to sow the seeds of joy so that your joy shall remain. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your children. We thank you, God, that you have great plans for them. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you would just speak to them. Allow them to know. Allow them to feel you. Allow them to hear you, God. Allow them to sense your presence. Your word says that in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore, God. We want more of your presence so that we can experience more of your joy. And we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the worship team comes, feel free to worship however you desire to worship. For some of you, it's communion. For others, it's lighting the candles. For others of you, it's praying. And it's asking God to cleanse me of me and fill me with more of you. But whatever you have to do to find that joy, take this opportunity to do so.